DI Plus is recorded at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Tuesday evenings in front of a live chat room audience on Pride48.com.
Let's pummel this Razorback.
From the palatial Pride 48 studios, high atop the universe, it's time for DI Plus to come screaming at you through Tay Interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are, we're glad you've joined us today. DI Plus is brought to you by...
Millions of women like yourself suffer from a poor night's rest. Sleeping on your side without proper breast support can be a major culprit. Introducing Cush, the comfortable nighttime companion. Anatomically contoured to gently support and cushion the weight of a woman's breasts, Cush maintains a more natural shape while resting on your side. No straps, no underwires, no constraints, no adhesives, and no garments needed. The slip-resistant surface helps keep Cush in place even as you roll from side to side. Cush offers comfort and proper spine alignment for side sleepers, pregnant women, nursing mothers, and post-operative recovery. Call 1-888-OWN-CUSH or shop online at cushsupport.com to order your Cush, starting at $55 plus shipping and handling. Order now!
And use the special promotional code DI Plus at checkout.
Welcome to DI Plus. I am Daniel Brewer, and I am joined by the Cush Support Free State of Arkansas by the one and only Mr. Adam Burton. Hello, Adam.
How much are you paying the spokesmodel? That was such a long intro.
That was 1 minute.
Man, I'm needing some Cush support right now.
And I had some problems trying to get the thing because they were both on the same audio channel and I was just trying to play some game. I got nothing.
You couldn't get it up.
I couldn't get it up. Yeah, they were talking about breasts. And who knew that breasts were so dangerous? That women's breasts are so dangerous that they need to be constrained.
I knew they were dangerous.
They need to be constrained at night lest they go off on their own and start, you know, doing like horrible things like murdering people and whatnot. I don't know.
Why do you think I'm gay? It's the fact that breasts are so damn dangerous.
It is there. This comes from an internet from an internet. I don't know if you are. Do you have those in Arkansas? An internet?
No, we have no internet. And if we did, it would be too slow.
This comes from an internet article that I was reading. A couple of days ago, whatever it is. The 9 most shameful home shopping products. I had posted one of them on Google Plus today. Called the Euro Club. Let me just give you an idea of what this is. I don't know if this is, let's see if this works.
Drank a lot of water. I really have to go. People are waiting to tee off. There's no restroom out here.
Has this happened to you? I've got the perfect gift. Introducing the Euro Club, the discreet sanitary solution for your urgent relief. It looks like an ordinary golf club, but contains a reservoir built into the grip to relieve yourself. The Euro Club comes with a towel and appears that you are just checking out your club. Leak-proof, easy to clean, and no embarrassing moments. Order now and get a second Euro Club for half price. The Euro Club, the only club in your bag guaranteed to keep you out of the woods.
This is a golf club with a screw top on the that you pee into because you're trapped on a golf course and can't go pee.
Is this for women or men or both?
No, it's for men because it comes with a little towel that you wrap around your waist. Then you hold the club in front of you as though you're like trying to putt or whatever while you're peeing in front of people.
Why would you be how could you be trapped on a golf course exactly?
I mean, because as the gentleman said, I drink a lot and there's no restrooms out here.
If someone's holding you hostage on a golf course.
I'm just saying, if you're drunk enough that you have to pee in a golf club, what are the chances are you're going to remember to empty it and wash it out quickly?
And wait a minute. Now,
it's just going to sit in your golf bag for like days and start reeking.
I don't know what the rules are. Oh, you know, speaking of that, one time, I think I've mentioned on the show before. that I used to have to pee in bottles, like when I was on a long trip, if I would, I needed to pee so bad and I couldn't get to a, well, one time I peed in a bottle and I put the cap back on it and I put it behind the seat of my car and I forgot it was there for like, I don't know, probably 6 months because I don't hardly clean my car. I have no idea what it smelled like or anything because it was closed tight. It did not leak and I just threw it away with the pee in it. So somebody got a surprise when, you know, they were crushing the garbage or whatever.
By the way, it is 10 o'clock. Well, it's 10:23 on a Tuesday evening because somebody was just taking their sweet time at the beginning of the show.
You were getting ready that whole time. You're blaming
and that
it on
can
me.
Mean, I didn't say who. I just said someone. If you know what? If you feel guilty about it, well, I think that speaks volumes. We are streaming live on pride48.com. So I'd like to say a big howdy ho to the chat room out there. We have in our chat room this evening Turnip Head, Ant, the Good Humor Penguin. That's Michael Fine. It's All About and Toppy Smelly and Yaz Mama Doo. We haven't heard from Yaz Mama Doo in a very long time. Welcome back, Yaz Mama Doo.
You ever scratch your balls and smell your fingers?
I'm not sure the context of that question.
Well, I have a habit. I'm just going to say, maybe I just like the smell of musty balls. But if my balls are itching, I will scratch them. Not like at work or anything. But then for some reason, my hand just automatically goes, if I'm not thinking about it, my hand goes to my nose and I sniff. And Mark has been making fun of me lately because he'll catch me doing this. And I didn't even realize that I did it until he, like, caught me one night. And now...
The smell of balls in the morning.
I don't know.
A new scent from Adam Burns.
Yeah.
Would you like to hear the other shameful home shopping products?
Sure, go right ahead.
I'm not going to play all these.
Are these things because... that we need to buy for our friends and loved
yes.
ones?
Yes. All right, here's one. This is a product called the Tajazzle. Have you ever heard of the Tajazzle?
No.
It is a... It is a...
It must be funny.
There are small rhinestones that you decorate your vaginal area with.
I don't like have a vaginal area.
Stick on rhinestone things. And you know it's only for the vaginal area because it also comes with scented powders and some other crap. I don't know what it is.
Now
just,
that they need. Yeah. But now, wait a minute. I mean... I thought that was called vajazzling.
Yeah, but this product is called the Tajazzle.
Was the other word copywritten or something?
It's a 14-minute infomercial. I'm not going to go through it to find out. The other thing is the Booty Pop.
Okay.
The Booty Pop. Here, I'll give you a little
taste. Is that lickable?
What do all women look at when buying jeans? That's right. They're sexy or not so sexy bottoms. Imagine being able to reshape your backside and achieve that ultimate shapely lifted booty instantly. It's here. Hollywood's hottest new trade secret. Booty Pop. Just like the padded bra enhances, Booty Pop panties are now revolutionizing women's undergarments, giving you sexy curves and the ultimate lift.
There you go. That's the Booty Pop.
Well, I want my booty pop. I mean, I'd like my booty to pop. When I lose weight, my booty is the first thing to lose weight.
Yes.
So I wouldn't mind having some kind of contraption to lift it up.
But when you're in Pride 48 and you're wearing those G-strings and stuff, it's not like you could also be wearing the booty pop. It's very, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, it seems like it'll be fine under your clothes. But if you actually, if the point of it was to be more alluring to capture a, you know, to take someone home with you, when they got you home and took your clothes off, they would kind of... realizing you had
it's like that episode of Queer as Folk, and I don't remember if this happened on the British one or not, which I know you're more of a fan of the British one, but it definitely happened on the American one. The guy, I think it might have been Michael, I don't remember the guy's name, but anyway, he was the short one with the dark hair who was best friends with the jerk. Anyway, he goes home with this guy, or takes a guy home with him, or what? It's one of the first episodes of the entire series.
Yes.
Anyway, he goes home. It may be the very first one.
Yes.
And the guy is getting undressed, and he pulls out a fake ass, like a fake cock, like all this fake pecs, like everything. Yeah.
And what did he do? He left. There you go.
He did.
The instant arm lift is the other shameful product. Here, it's a short one.
Introducing Instant Arm Lift, a Hollywood fashion secret now available to you.
It seems like there's a lot of Hollywood fashion.
I think that's just
specially designed adhesive was created by a woman for women to wear comfortably on our sensitive skin. Just attach it underneath the back of your arm and give it a gentle lift for the illusion of smooth.
but no one can see it unless they're looking at the back of your arm. So as long as you hold your arms facing outward, much like like Michael Jackson or something, if you stand in that like Jesus cross pattern for a very long time, then people will maybe not realize
it. Actors and actresses do not need that kind of stuff nowadays, because what happens is everything is Photoshopped. Now, I think they can Photoshop live. Like, they have auto-tune for voices, which apparently now Mariah Carey uses that as well. But anyway, regardless, at one time, she had a very good voice. But...
I don't control that phone. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, hello?
Hello, Daniel and Adam. This is David at Blue Jeans Guy calling in once again for the Celebrity Death Phone. It's been a rough week for celebrities, let me say.
It has.
Film star Audrey Totter has died at 95. She's been known for the films The Postman, Always Rains Twice, Lady in the Lake, The Setup, and High Wall. So probably not as well known now, but there you go. She is dead at 95.
I've never seen any of those movies. Have you seen any of those movies?
No, I have not seen any of those movies.
They call trotters, it's another name for pig's feet.
It is. That is true.
Yeah, Audrey Trotter.
I don't know. I mean, maybe he was saying something else, but it sounded like Trotter.
See, and Toppy Smelly, who knows everything about everything,
who?
Is in our chat room. And he's saying, who? I don't even know who Audrey Trotter is. Never heard of her.
Well,
I don't know.
By God, if Toppy Smelly doesn't know who it is.
If Toppy Smelly doesn't know, then so sorry. So sorry. That's that was Brian, that Blue Jeans guy.
We need the wah, 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 wah.
All right. So I'm sorry. I interrupted you. So Mariah Carey, who has a fake booty.
Well, I don't know. I mean, she may have a fake booty, but no, I was just saying that apparently she auto-tunes and lip-syncs a lot nowadays. But anyway, that wasn't my point, though. My point was that I would be surprised if they don't have, like, they have auto-tune for vocalists and stuff, that they don't have, like, live Photoshop, that, like, makes them look better live.
Right.
I'm pretty sure they do. Or at least for movies, maybe not live, but I know for movies, they can go in and, like, edit the way someone looks to make them look younger, older, skinnier,
to an extent, right?
I mean, I know it probably
you saw Tron. Did you see Tron where they tried to do something?
I didn't see it, but I saw trailers and stuff.
Jeff
yes.
Bridges or whatever, and just looked really bad. So there's this thing, right? There's this thing called the, I know we've talked about this before, the Creepy Valley. Have we talked about that? Mm-mm. So the Creepy Valley is it's used basically, it's a term that we use for animation, right? So the thing that, the less human an animated figure looks, the more that we're willing to, the more that our brain says, okay, that looks all right. The closer it looks to being human, if it's not exactly spot on, then our brain like rejects it as being like, that's really creepy. Like it's,
oh
like,
yeah.
Looks like a
well,
zombie
I don't know
or whatever.
If we've ever talked about it on this show, but like, the Final Fantasy movies and stuff like that.
Right. So, animating a human or whatever, because our brains, wired into our wetware is like a really good pattern recognition system. And so we're really, really hardwired to like recognize movements, right? Evolutionary, we're trained, to recognize others of our species, right? To figure out, oh, that's not a predator coming at me, or that is a predator coming at me, or that's another human being, or that's someone that I recognize. So it's, to fake that out. But to your point, I'm sorry, I'm going to go off on a tangent here. But to your point, have you heard of the robo telemarketer?
I have heard of that. Yes, we listen to. See, you and I, we listen to the same podcast.
Well, I heard that actually. I had read this before I heard them talk about it on Twig. But yeah, I have the recording. Do you want to hear that? This is so to bring you up to. There was a telemarketer that was calling, and this person that got the call from it was like, this person doesn't sound real, but they're responding to things, and. So he called her back, and this is the conversation that took place. So this is a guy calling a telemarketer.
Hello, how are you today?
Okay, how are you?
Good. Well, I'm calling about an online request you once made about health insurance coverage. We work with all major companies and compare all the rates for you. I can get you a quote in about 5 minutes, okay?
Are you a robot?
I am a real person.
I am a real person.
So, yeah, and there's like, a space there where either someone is pushing a button or, some software is trying to identify voice recognition there in order to pull it back. But then it goes downhill from there.
Do you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine, but you sound like a robot.
I understand. Can we continue?
Sure.
Are you currently on Medicare?
No. Why are the questions so personal?
We received your online application for health insurance, and if you're still looking for affordable health insurance,
I have an answer to
excellent
that.
Coverage, we can give you a free quote.
Why should I give my information to you?
Pause.
I understand, but we do work with all carriers, and I can get you a low rate. Getting a quote will only take a minute, okay?
You really do sound like a robot.
Robot, pause.
I am a real person. Maybe we have a bad connection. I'm sorry about that.
Are you sure?
Yes. Sure.
I'm going to hang up now.
Okay.
Have a nice day.
Thank you.
Anyway,
she
and there was another one.
Sad. Like, you don't believe I'm a real person.
Aww.
Damn it.
Aww.
You're going to hang up.
Right. So, I mean, and it's fair enough to know what's going on there, right? It's the chat room is saying that, Toppy Smiling chat room is saying that that's a fully synthesized voice. It's not, or I guess he's asking if that's a fully synthesized voice. And Yasmin Badu has it correct. You know, it is a voice actor that recorded these things, but it's a piece of software playing them back. In a set. Now, I don't know, and you know, without us knowing anymore, I don't know if that's actually a person sitting there deciding what pre-canned response to play back, or whether it was, you know, software that did it, right?
Because why would you have a person sitting there pushing buttons if you had a person
Very
that
well
could actually
then.
Sit there?
Counsel will be granted to you provisionally.
See, you can ask Toppy anything.
Then, if you had a person sitting there pushing buttons, then they could just be talking. I mean, you wouldn't need it.
I am the great and powerful Podfather. Do not trifle with me, mortal.
No, the point is that you want a happy female voice, right? And they're farming these things out to other countries, right, to cut down on cost and whatnot. It's probably all software, though. There's another one of that same person that called that person back and just sat there and said, "Are you a robot? Are you a robot? Just say that you're not a robot." And that's not one
of her. I am a real person.
And he's like, "I understand that, but just say the phrase, 'I am not a robot.' It'll make me feel better." Maybe you can't hear me. I'm sorry about that.
Maybe
you
know, we have just a bad connection.
Yeah, it's all clearly it's the same response and stuff like that. Anyway, there you go. So, you know, a few years from now, yeah, we won't have to have horrible actors. Maybe a few years from now, that telemarketer will be able to do a much better job at The Sound of Music than Carrie Underwood did.
I enjoyed The Sound of Music.
You have got to be fucking with me.
I really enjoyed it. Did we not talk about it? I enjoyed it.
Now hold that thought. We have to talk about that. Yes, hello. Are these in order? Or are these alphabetical? I'm wondering.
They're in the order that they were received from top to bottom.
But person?
Oh, no. The persons are grouped together.
Right. But the people look alphabetical.
No. They're so I have celebrity J, we'll say, at the top there.
Yes. But did she die first? Or is she alphabetical? I know that they're all in order at the time that they... In other words...
No. It was just the way it was. I don't know. It's the way it was in my folder and in Windows.
I think they hung up.
I don't know. I don't know who died first.
Oh, all right. Someone's there. They called back. Yeah, clearly they must have thought we were a robot. Yes, hello. Who's there?
Celebrity death phone. This, of course, is Murr. And I'm calling to report the death of Frank Petty, character actor best known as Sam Drucker on Petticoat Junction and Green Acres, dead at age 96 in Wilsonville, Oregon, USA. Thank you for calling. Poor Frank Sam Drucker, big credit.
Do you think he actually knows like where they died? Like that he knows that much?
I don't know
information about them because he like knows them or something.
He talks a lot about Sam Drucker. He is.
CBS presents this program in color.
Wait, here we go.
Come ride the little train that is rolling down the tracks to the junction. Forget about your cares, it is time to relax at the junction.
Petticoat Junction.
Lots of curves, you bet, and even more. her when you get to the junction.
Petticoat Junction.
There's a... There you go. Uncle Joe moving kind of slow at the junction. Petticoat.
All right, I say we give it to him. He told us, no, he told us his own name, which he never does.
if you said, if you walked up to me and said that whatever the actor's name was died, I wouldn't know who it was. But if you said Sam Drucker, I would know who that was.
Right.
So,
and Sam Fatty has called in several times to our show and mentioned Sam Drucker before.
Right. And now.
And now he's dead.
So Fatty will never call us again and talk about.
Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not.
Talk about. You know, I haven't. I went through all the trouble of recording him that new tech segment.
Yep.
And he hasn't played it once.
Well, he probably doesn't have any tech news now or tech information. Or maybe he gave out every piece of tech knowledge that he had. I don't know.
There you go. By the way, you know, it is your week.
I know.
And did you see the votes?
Oh, it's my week to do that. It's my week to do the audio, to do the editing.
Yes, but it's also your week to do the other thing. Did you see the votes and do you know what it is?
Oh, that other thing.
This show is getting very mad. Oh, great. My tablet just shut down. Excellent. Well, I guess the phone is not going to ring.
Ring. No, because there's a tie.
You pick one.
Okay. So, just to kill some time here, because you're like across the room. So Turnip Head sent me some underwear and he asked me in the chat room, he said, what did Mittens think of the underwear? And first of all, I want to say, I just like underwear because I like to look as sexy as possible. But Mark does not think that specialty underwear or thongs or any of that stuff is sexy. He laughs. He thinks it's funny.
Does he laugh in that really stereotypical Asian way, like hee-hee-hee, like covers his mouth with his hand, like hee-hee-hee?
Well, maybe not the mouth to the hand, but anyway. And he just thinks it's crazy that I even want to wear like exotic looking underwear, like I should just be wearing, you know, briefs or whatever. He doesn't get it at all. So it almost defeats the purpose because I can't like put on a really hot, you know, thong or something and wear it in front of him because he won't find it attractive at all. He'll just laugh. So all of my hot underwear is really wasted now. I mean, he doesn't like me to get on. I can't do the prior thing that I did for work, the webcam stuff, because he doesn't like that. That now makes him jealous, so I can't do that. And there's nowhere else that I get naked for people, so I like can't. I never can wear. You know, I can, but it's just for my own benefit, and then I get laughed at anyway. So I get this package from Turnip Head, and this wasn't in the list, but I get this package from Turnip Head that I've been waiting for. Thank you, by the way, Turnip Head. And I don't know if I would really call it underwear.
Yaz Mamadou says in the chat room that you could just take pictures and put them on Instagram.
I don't look that hot right now. I gained 20 pounds since Vegas. But anyway.
But you've got Photoshop.
I do. Well, yeah, I could. I have Creative Cloud. Anyway, so I'll explain this. I like it. It's interesting, though. It's like a cock ring. There is no underwear. It's not covering anything.
It's a. There's no wear in the underwear.
No. And I don't know. The Turnip Head is probably AFK. But anyway, it's a cock ring. It's a Velcro cock ring. I mean, it's not completely Velcro, but it's some kind of material.
So it sounds more like an under framework.
It's like some a framework.
Kind of,
it's like
some kind of weird architectual framework in which
it's like this cock ring with one tiny little spaghetti strap that you're supposed to go around your neck and then down to this cock ring and kind of lift it up.
You know,
so
you
if you were at the underwear party, imagine what I was wearing. Only instead of it being underwear, like something covering, it's just a cock ring with the dick and balls just there.
You know what would work better would be
beneath the back of your arm and give it a gentle lift for the illusion of smooth, firm, younger looking arms.
Just replace the word arms with penis.
So, I mean, I like it, although the 20 pounds has not helped out, and I probably have not shaved my body since Pride 48 either. So I look like a hairy 20-pound overweight cub now. And some people like that. I mean, don't get me wrong, but I'm not one of them. Anyway, so I've been hesitating to even look at myself in the mirror. Yes. But and Mittens just laughs at that sort of thing. So I don't know if I even showed it to him.
All right, so before we got sidetracked by this whole spaghetti strap and the under scaffolding, you somehow appreciated the Sound of Music live show. You were able to watch more than 6 minutes of it.
First of all, the black woman was on Private Practice for a long time on that TV show.
Care.
Private Practice.
I don't
I really
care.
Liked her. I did not know that she could sing. She played Mother Superior or whatever the. I enjoy. Look, it is a silly musical. It is not some, you know, masterwork of whatever. It's just
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It was badly acted. It was dead because what was the point of doing it live if all they did was just recreate all of these sets on the soundstage that they just ran between? It's like this. You know, if you're going to do a live performance, then it should be some kind of feedback, right? There should be some kind of audience, or there should be some kind of thing other than them just standing on this enormous soundstage with all of these different sets that they're running back and forth beyond. But more than that, it was just god awful. It was just the acting. Here's the thing, though. Those kids and some of those people that you do like in there were Broadway, you know, stage performers.
Well, I think Carrie Underwood has a nice voice.
Well, she does, but she's a horrible, horrible.
Well,
I mean,
they
just
wanted a big name to draw an audience, and she has a good voice.
That's the problem.
So, well, I liked it. I understand there should have been an audience.
God, it was horrible.
But maybe they couldn't have done as much of a set. The sets were very elaborate, and maybe they couldn't have done that on a stage.
They couldn't have. That's what I'm trying to tell you. But yet, the Sound of Music started off as a stage production. They could have done a really elaborate single stage production with, I mean, they're NBC, the amount of money they spent on that, they could have had some kind of, I mean, look at Wicked, right, with these huge motorized stages and whatnot. They could have done a lot of things with their staging in order to actually make it a real stage performance. And that would have been much better than what it was. It was just, God, it was so god awful.
So judgmental.
Bill
you
Compton
can't just
was
watch
just,
something and
it was
and
horrible.
Just, you can't just watch something. It's like, you know, what do they call it? Like a popcorn movie where it's just, you know, it's just fun to watch. You know, it's not good.
I watch those all. I watch things that aren't good all the time and enjoy them. But this one was just, I couldn't get through it. It was horrible. You're taking basically, all right, you're, never mind. It was just horrible.
I'm a horrible person. I enjoyed it. I was snowed in. I couldn't go anywhere. I don't know if we even talked about that. I guess we did. Have we talked about it? We got like 10 inches of snow.
Yes.
I think we're supposed to get more snow this weekend.
Well, we had a lot of snow today. Now we're just two old ladies talking about the weather.
Anyway, my topics are really, so first of all, I was snowed in and I started, Mark and I watched, I like to find shows that I have never watched and watch, you know, multiple seasons of them. And I found a show that I really like called Suits.
Yes, I have completed season one, and I am now two episodes into season two.
Did I give you the idea to watch it, or were you?
Robert had watched it before, and he had mentioned it. And then when I saw it on the Trello, and you had talked about it, or wanted to talk about it, I decided that it was on Amazon Prime, so I jumped in and started watching. Yeah, it was.
You know, it's all about me. Mark in the chat room says, "Really, 10 inches? I'm lucky if I get 6." And I think he's talking about snow, but there again. And he's always talking about Ed can't get it up or something. So maybe the full 10, he never gets the full 10.
Can I just go on it? Can I go? No, talk about your Suits thing. Because we've put this off for three. I have a huge rant to go on about Mr. It's all about me.
I'm just going to say.
No, you go ahead.
I don't like, I really don't know how to even go on and on about a TV show, so I won't. But I will say it's on
good,
Amazon.
Though.
Huh?
It's good though.
It's a good show. It is a law. I love law shows. Any show with courtrooms and like law and intrigue and, you know, I love watching them argue cases in front of judges and juries and all that. But it's about a really smart guy who, well, I won't spoil it, but anyway.
Yeah, well, there's not as much courtroom.
No, but
The Good Wife. Like The Good Wife has a lot of courtroom stuff. Right. This or The Practice or whatever. This is more. Most of it is set in the law firm as opposed to in court.
And they're all rich, which, as we know, I would like to be. Not rich, just have enough money to be comfortable, which right. I like that. So that's it. Go watch it. Suits available on Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime?
Yeah, for free.
Oh, okay. Hello.
Hi, this is Curtis from the Game Night Guys podcast, your favorite podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Calling the celebrity death phone. Peter O'Toole has died.
Yes.
Okay, bye.
You didn't tell us how he died or where he died or...
Is that a rule now?
Didn't give us a brief history. No, I'm just saying, you know, it's Curtis. Curtis is like, you know, and he has his encyclopedic knowledge of all things. I figured that he would have, you know, some kind of, I don't know. I just kind of feel a little let down that it was kind of, you know.
Congratulations, Curtis. Peter O'Toole is in fact dead. And he is famous. He was in Lawrence of Arabia.
See, now why didn't he say that?
A long time ago.
Why didn't he say that? Why didn't he say, like, you know, Peter O'Toole, who was, you know, born in 1932, just recently died. He was he attended the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art.
No, what a lot of people do when they call in, I think, is they go to Wikipedia. And
like I am right now.
They go to Wikipedia. Oh, is that what you're doing right now?
Oh, you know what I should have done? You know what I really should have done is ask what I should have, you know. Okay, Kathy Bacon, who is Peter O'Toole?
According to Wikipedia, Peter James O'Toole was an Irish actor.
Well, there you go.
Oh, great. Even Googleina is very short on words for the Mr. O'Toole.
Right. And Toppy Smelly wants us to not forget Peter O'Toole's wonderful, unforgettable performance in Supergirl. There you go. So congratulations, Curtis. You are entered into the contest and you have a single dollar coming, added to the pot, which is
not coming unless you win.
No. We've upped the pot by $2 this year.
You get an entry.
$2 so far. Two. Count them. $2. I just wanted to, what was I going to say? I don't know.
You have a bone to pick with. It's all about me.
I know, but I don't know if I really want. All right, I'm just going to do this.
You know they already don't like you, so be careful.
I know, and I don't know why. I don't know why they don't like me. I do nothing but, I listen to their show as soon as it comes out. I'm like, I listen to it. I like. All right, so they had this thing against Felicia Rashad. And they went on and on about it on their last podcast for like 20 minutes about how horrible Felicia Rashad is and all the things that they gave for her. The reason that they hated her were all things about the Cosby Show. They really just they really don't like the Cosby Show.
Well, you know, Felicia Rashad, she actually wrote, acted in, directed, produced.
Right. She did all of the parts.
The Cosby Show. So, yeah,
one of the things, like, they were upset that she spoke Portuguese and Spanish. Now, Spanish and Portuguese are not that far apart from each other, but I don't know that Felicia Rashad actually speaks those languages as much as a writer wrote down phrases for her to say on the show. But even if she did speak those other languages, women can't be multilingual? They can't be...
No,
smart?
They should be barefoot and pregnant. That is where they should be.
Right.
Learn, Felicia Rashad.
But the
Felicia,
other, all right, so the, here's the thing. So the, and this whole thing about them going
now,
on.
By the way,
yes.
I think Felicia Rashad is the voice of University of Phoenix.
Could be.
I'm just saying. But listen to that Phoenix commercial sometime where they're talking about all these people that have graduated from there and it's a woman. And tell me if you think that's Felicia Rashad. That's it.
All right.
Go keep going.
Wait, I have it. Let me see if I can find it here on YouTube. Let's see. University of Phoenix.
They're showing like this fake hallway with all these pictures of people. And there's also one with like a subway as well. Maybe it's the same one, but I swear all the University of Phoenix commercials recently, it sounds like her.
Let's see. Is this it?
One resident describes her horrifying experience when she first realized the complex was on fire.
Well, I woke up to go give me a cold pop, and then I thought somebody was barbecuing. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Then I ran out. I didn't grab no shoes or nothing, Jesus. I ran for my life, and then the smoke got me. I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that.
That's it. I think that is Felicia Rashad. I'm pretty sure that
Maybe
is.
Maybe so.
That is
if
Felicia
only
Rashad.
She had spoken Portuguese or Spanish, we would have known.
Now, so here's the thing. In their rant against Felicia Rashad, it meandered over into the Huxtable residence. Like how come, you know, her grandparents are jazz musicians and do these things? You know, it's like, again, it was the Cosby Show. It had nothing to do with Felicia Rashad. But they latched onto this one thing that is a part of my childhood that I just wanted to touch on here. I really, you know what? I should just call their show and tell them that on their show. But they're saying that nobody answers the phone because on the TV show in the 80s, they answered the phone, Huxtable's residence. They were like, nobody answers the phone that way. Au contraire, sirs. Our household, that was how you answered the phone because my dad was like, you know, a small town doctor that everyone, he was listed
but
in
now,
the phone book.
Tell me the truth. Didn't you grow up in the white version of the Cosby Show? Kind
my
of.
My mom was not a lawyer.
Well, but your dad was a doctor, you know. Well, maybe that's where it stops. I don't know.
But there you go.
Now,
other than that,
now
there's,
you've moved
and I
on
ate
to a different
and
world.
I ate a lot of Jell-O pudding pops.
Right,
yes,
exactly.
No, I'm just saying that you know, it was very common in doctors' households where you don't know who's going to call. It could be the hospital. It could be, you know, some patient. It could be an insurance company. It could be a lot of different things. And it's not like if the phone rings, you know, it's somebody that you know. So you would say hello. And also, you know, this was like late 70s, early 80s. It was a different world, if I can use that pun. I mean, it was just, right. You know, we didn't have cell phones. We talking on the phone was much more formal back then. And that was how you answered the phone. You answered at Brewer's Restaurant because you did not know who was on the other end of the phone. It could be, you know, the hospital trying to get a hold of him. It could be another doctor. It could be whatever. You know, you just didn't want to embarrass because private people like that, like lawyers and doctors and real estate agents, people that are their own business, right? That there's a mixing, there's a necessary mixing of their personal lives with their business lives, and it plays itself out in that way, that if you answer something in your personal life in a certain way, it can reflect on your business life, right? So as opposed to, let's say, I work in a cubicle in a health system, right? So it's like, for me to come on this podcast and say things doesn't really affect my business life, right? But
right.
If I were a politician or a doctor or a lawyer, someplace that I am the product, right? I am the sole product that is being...
No, I know you like to think you're a doctor, but I guarantee you the way everyone else answered the phone is, no, Daniel is not a doctor. He's not a psychiatrist. Nothing. You need to talk to Mr. Huxtable.
Stop it.
I mean, Mr. Brewer.
Stop it.
That would be doctor. That would be Dr. Brewer. Thank you very much. And that would be my dad. But yeah, I just had a, I don't know. I'm all over the road, Adam. I'm just trying to say. I was going to say, the other thing that really annoys me about one of their rants that they like.
Another thing that annoys me about, it's all about
that
me.
About that damn podcast is Mark is getting, and now Mark's gone silent in the chat room. He's just like, I'm not even going to, fuck you.
But
I'm
they only get 6 inches instead of 10.
Hang it up. He's like, but another thing, he had a problem with hashtags, right? He doesn't want, like, he wanted to talk about the pound sign, the actual number sign,
right,
and he wanted to know why that was called a hashtag. That is actually not called a hashtag. A hashtag is a number sign plus a phrase, right? In other words, it is the entire thing, is the entirety of it. It may start with a number sign, but what a hashtag is that plus a key, which also is sometimes called a meta tag, and it's used in disparate data in order for us to like index into them, right? So the original reasoning for having hashtags was to take a bunch of disparate data sources and be able to put in these meta tags so that you could find relationships between different types of data. It's called meta tagging. It got adopted by social media and is being used, you know, horribly now with marketing crap, but the original point of it is that's the hashtag. But the reason that you don't call it the pound sign is because in the international community, you're dealing with people in Europe who have an actual pound sign for their currency. So you typically call it either, you know, there's a name for it.
Snap it, work it, quick, erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick, rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, drag it, drop it, zip, unzip it, lock it, fill it,
Okay, fine. My only point was, is like, if you want to call it the number sign, then call it the number sign. If you want to call it the tic-tac-toe, call it the tic-tac, you call it whatever you want. It's not a hashtag. A hashtag is something completely different. So I'm
That's
just saying.
That's a weird
that
video.
I should just edit this whole piece out. Edit
no.
the entire piece out.
No, it's my ever. No,
it's Christmas weird. Time, and I should just be more, you know, more loving. More,
that wouldn't be you. So I one other thing. This is really quick. I promise. You know, I've been talking about buying that man cheese thing. Dang it!
Hold on. Just hold that thought. Really, you know, it's right.
Wait. Answer the phone correctly the way you're supposed to.
What?
The way everyone
there's a real human here.
No. DI
all
plus.
Let me do that again. Adam Burns residence.
Yeah, hi guys. Artie Cruiser again. Busy day for dead people. Joan Fontaine, actress, dead. I don't know whether it's the weather over there and the cold or whether these people are just so cheap they're trying to avoid Christmas. Oh well. See you later.
cannot understand a word that man says. What?
You know,
what?
It is true that a lot of people die in the wintertime. I think if you can make it past the winter months, you're good. Like, until the next time it gets cold, because that's when most people die.
So who the hell is Joan Fontaine?
Joan Fontaine.
Oh.
I believe is who it is. And I don't know who it is, but I believe it is Joan because like 5 million people call. I mean.
All right. Let me ask the authoritative source here. Okay, Kathy Bacon. Who is Joan Fontaine?
According to Wikipedia, Joan de Beauvoir de Havilland, known professionally as Joan Fontaine, was a British-American actress.
Well, there you go.
She began her career on stage in 1935.
I'm just saying, if Kathy Bacon knows who she is, then, you know, that...
Olivia de Havilland was her sister.
Really? So it's Joan de Beauvoir de Havilland.
Something like that. I think she was in some Alfred Hitchcock movies or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know.
She's dead.
But I'm sure she's famous, so... I'm getting some kind of weird feedback. So if they're, I'm editing the audio, but I'm getting some kind of weird popping from my electronics today. I don't know why.
All right. Well, congratulations, Toppy Smelly. I don't know why I'm congratulating Toppy Smelly. Is any idea why I might be?
I don't know.
I'm just all over the road tonight. It's like, congratulations, Toppy Smelly.
I am the great and powerful Podfather. Do not trifle with me, mortal.
Right.
Just, so, you know,
what I really meant to do was to hit this button. And I will always... But it came out as Toppy Smelly. I don't even know why it came out as Toppy Smelly.
Well, first of all, hitting a button doesn't require you to say anything. So rather than hitting a button, you said Toppy Smelly just randomly.
I do that. I walk around the house often and just I'll be like walking around the house all the time, just going like, you know, Toppy Smelly, Toppy Smelly.
I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that.
So anyway, really quickly, two things. The inquiring minds want to know. I've been talking about that man sheath thing that you guys brought up on one of the shows.
It was one of our sponsors numerous shows
right?
ago. Yes.
I broke down and I measured myself last night.
You measured yourself and you have ordered a man sheath.
Yeah. I never can remember what it's called either. That's not even what it's called. It's called Stealth Innerwear. But I never can remember that. So I was having to look at my history to find the page that it was on. But apparently the things are made in China and shipped from there. So it takes like a month.
Yes.
So I won't know if it does any good until, because I'm a grower, so I'd like to have something that, you know, of course, no telling what kind of laughs Mark is, I'm going to get from mittens.
Right. Mittens.
With that. But I ordered that. The other thing is I walk into the gym bathroom today, the dressing room today.
Yes.
And first of all, it was very busy, but I walk in and facing the door, like right there in front of everyone, there's this hot, muscular guy with nothing but a shirt on, sitting on the bench with his legs spread wide and his cock just hanging there.
Really?
For all the world to see. No underwear, no nothing, just cock.
You know, had you taken a picture of it, it would have made a Google Auto Awesome of it or something.
It would have, actually, because Google likes cocks, apparently.
Apparently Google likes penis, yeah.
But anyway, that was it. I've never seen nakedness like that in my gym until today, and it looked like he wanted people to see because he was, like, facing the entrance to the... Anyway, that's it.
Well, you said that it was pretty.
It was a nice penis.
Maybe he knew that. Maybe he's not getting enough validation. Maybe it's Ricky. Maybe it's Ricky Burton, and maybe he needs validation.
And he did not have to wear a man sheath or innerwear. It was long,
that you know
soft.
Of. That you know of. It could have been a flesh-colored stealth.
I've seen lots of penises in my day. It looked au naturel to me.
Annie.
Officials in southeastern Brazil say doctors performed a cesarean section.
Wait, where?
Brazil. Officials in southeastern Brazil say doctors performed a cesarean section on a 37-year-old woman only to discover that she wasn't pregnant.
There were no survivors. Yeah, no, so yes?
Simone Carvalho is a spokeswoman for the health department of the coastal city of Cabo Frio. She said Tuesday the woman told doctors at the city's women's hospital she was 41 weeks pregnant and in pain. So she told him she was pregnant, apparently. So the Carvalho said one reason doctors believe she was pregnant was because she had the symptoms associated with pregnancy, like an enlarged abdomen and nausea.
Yes.
She said doctors could not hear the baby's heartbeat and feeling its life was in danger, ordered an emergency C-section, after which they discovered it was a false pregnancy.
Yeah.
But anyway, apparently the woman was convinced she was pregnant. They don't say what it was, I mean, other than a false pregnancy, but...
And then she said...
According to the apartment manager...
Oh, shit.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
She said...
Mo got me. I got bronchitis.
That's what she said. I ain't pregnant. I got bronchitis. That Felicia Rashad, she is amazing. Excellent. So,
in other news.
So, so what did they take out then? Was she just fat?
It doesn't say. That was the end of the story.
Because let me just say, that is an excellent... All right, let's put it this way, right? My insurance would cover a cesarean section, but it would not cover liposuction. So if I were to tell them that I was pregnant...
Well, I think she thought she was pregnant, and so, because she was fat. But the thing is, I mean, I've heard of people being so fat that they didn't notice they were pregnant.
Right.
And then they just, like, squatted and had a baby one day. But I've never heard someone thinking that they were pregnant and actually having a cesarean section. It happens. Haven't you ever seen, like, oh, man, I really thought I needed to poop, and then I squatted, and guess what? A baby came out. It happens. I have read news stories.
Not to me. I have never in my life felt like I needed to poop in a given birth. Well, I'm just saying.
I have read in my research as a news director, I have read stories where women have just squatted down thinking they were about to have some diarrhea or something. And well,
if we talk more about poop, then we're really no better than It's All About Me. Because that's all they do. They talk about poop on that show.
I bet that's going to be one of their Halloween whatever in their House of Horrors next year is a woman who thinks she needs to poop having a baby.
Adam Burns is one of my all-time favorite podcasters in the podcasting community. Dubious Intent Plus.
Right.
In other news,
yes.
She doesn't sell tickets. In fact, hardly anyone even knows it's there. But a Maryland woman is putting on quite a holiday show, and it's all inside her house.
Yes.
You might say Renetta Zanko's love of Christmas has snowballed.
Can we have more stupid puns here?
She has a lot of Christmas trees.
Yes.
277 trees.
Now that's just silly. That's just silly.
How many trees are in her bathroom, you might ask? Oh, I think
Adam. Adam.
What?
How many trees are in her bathroom?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Daniel. So Renetta says she thinks there are 28 trees in her bathroom. Of course, one is made of toilet paper rolls. There's even one in the shower.
Uh-huh.
Because after bottoming, you need something to clean yourself out.
That's what shittins are for.
It's not like I hear they have some kind of lemony scent, and it may not be good for a badge.
just move along.
It's not like I'm keeping somebody from taking a shower or anything, because it's only me and my husband here. I wonder if she has lights on that tree. That would be dangerous. Each year.
The 200 trees, does she have lights on all of them, or are they just some of them? Like... At some point, it gets ridiculous, right? At some point, let's say that she has 50 real trees. And then after that, it's like, yeah, see that bundle of wires over there in the corner? That's a tree. See that this pile of cans over there that I forgot to throw away? That's a tree. See that cat over there? That's a tree.
Well, there are
curtains, tree, lamp, tree, painting, tree.
There are trees that bubble and trees in tubs. One tree has spoons from all over the world, including one from Santa Claus, Indiana.
It's a spoon tree.
She's retired from the Air Force. The setup of the trees is a lot of work. It's been about 8 10-hour days.
She takes longer to set up these trees than Mark and Ed take to set up Squarestown, the Christmas village, Squarestown.
Anyway, it does not say if they're all lit, but there you go. There is a Christmas story for everyone.
Do we have another news story?
That's it.
Oh, I thought there was a news story about those people in New Mexico.
No, I don't.
There's a gay couple in New Mexico that got arrested for playing obscene Christmas music to the children in the neighborhood who came to see their lights. Just saying.
Was that Mark and Ed?
I don't know.
I haven't listened to the most recent episode, so.
Oh, dear Gussie. Wait, what are we saying? What are we saying? DI Plus residents.
Yeah, hi guys, it's me again. Another one. Unbelievable. Three in one day. Anyways, Tom Lawan, star of Billy Jack, dead at 82. Bye.
Tom?
I don't know. Tom Lorne? Tom Lawn?
Tom Lawn?
Tom?
See, they... Tom Lawn. Is he the guy that stands out there with the little lamp on the...
I don't know. I don't know.
Is Billy Jack. Because I heard Billy Jack. Is that important?
I actually you won't hear it because...
Okay, Kathy Bacon. Who is Billy Jack?
Here is some information about Billy Jack.
Billy Jack is a 1971 action drama film, the second of four films centering on the character of the same name, which began with the movie The Born Losers, played by Tom Laughlin, who directed and co-wrote the script.
Laughlin?
Laughlin. Laughli. I don't recognize this guy. I don't know who this guy is.
Well, I say screw it.
But apparently Toppy Smelly knows who he was.
Oh, well, if Toppy knows who it is, I guess we give it to him.
So, congratulations, RT Cruiser. Yet another entry into the contest. I swear to God, he's trying to stack this contest to pay for his trip to Pride 48 this year. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. All right, I think we're done with that, and it means that we need to do this.
I'm so glad you helped me get to the fiesta today. Do you know why today is such a special fiesta?
Why, Dora?
It's a birthday fiesta!
Yay!
So let's all say happy birthday in English and Spanish. Ready?
For the DI Plus birthday segment, most important segment of the show.
I'll give you an easy one.
Still waiting for the easy part. Okay, this is Genie in the Bottle, and Genie in a Bottle.
Yes, it is.
That would be all. See, now, chat room already typed. I was going to say Christina Aguilera before I saw that in the chat room. So it was Chris. I was trying to make a joke about The Voice because Robert was watching The Voice when I came in here to record earlier. So it's Christina Aguilera.
It is Christina Aguilera, and Christina Aguilera,
yes,
turned 33 years old.
33. She looks horrible for 33.
I think she looks good. I don't think she looks bad at all.
For 33? She does not look good for 33.
She lost weight since last season of The Voice. Her hair's looking good. Her skin's looking good.
You know what? No, do you watch The Voice?
Yeah, I do.
She's like on some kind of weird diet drugs or something, because earlier this season when she was judging stuff, she was just like all over the fucking road. She was just like, that had to do with spinny noises and glitter, and it was great, and you just love and joy and happiness.
Well, I tell you one thing about, I like The Voice a lot better than I like American Idol, but what I want to say is, they, after they get through the battle rounds, and I don't know if you watch it at all, but the battle rounds, yeah, they like pare it down, like the judges knock people off, basically.
Yes.
After that, it's all America voting, and after they get through the battle rounds, every one of the judges just gushes, no matter how horrible the person did. I just love you. You were always my favorite. What a strong person to get up there and say. They do not say one bad thing about any performance. It could be the goat up there.
You mean the...
Yes.
Now, come on. If the goat actually did sing on cue like that, that would be pretty fucking amazing.
And they'd be like, that was amazing. That was the best goat scream I've ever heard.
All right. Move along. What's our next birthday here?
Anyway, here's our next one right now.
La, 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 la. I have no idea what this is. Is this a movie or is this a TV show?
It is a TV show, and it is a song. It's not the main theme, but it is a song they play at the end of this show.
I don't know.
Hold on. You might get it if I play this.
All right. It sounds like someone was shuffling cards and then farted really loud. Is it Big Fatty? Is it Big Fatty's birthday?
No. We talked about... It's American Horror Story.
Oh, Robert's been watching that.
Not American Horror Story, but American Horror Story. Story.
Right. Not the Donna Sugar story, the American Horror Story.
And it's this season's cast specifically.
Okay.
But if you don't watch it, then you...
I don't. I have no idea. Who is it?
It's Coven is the name of this season, and it's about witches.
All right. Who? Whose birthday?
One of the main witches is Sarah Paulson.
Sarah Paulson. I never would have gotten
that. Sarah Paulson. Is 39. I was trying to go outside the box a little bit. She went blind earlier in the season, and now
she's
not.
You know, if someone called in on the Celebrity Death Phone and said Sarah Paulson is dead, I would be.
No, she's,
never heard of her.
She's fairly young, so I don't think she'd be. Okay, here is the last celebrity birthday for tonight, and it is not an actor.
Not an actor. This sounds a lot like, it sounds like a John Williams score. This is E.T. It's the theme to E.T., written by, or composed by John Williams.
It's not John Williams.
Okay, it's E.T.
It is E.T., but it's not E.T.'s birthday.
Oh, but it's not an actor. So it's Steven Spielberg.
It is Steven Spielberg.
It is Steven Spielberg's birthday.
And one might ask, Adam, why did you pick E.T.? Steven Spielberg has done so many things. Jurassic Park.
Yes, Duel. You could have played the theme to Duel.
And what I'll say is, I believe this is the last
theme to Schindler's
movie.
List.
I could be making this up, but I really feel like this is the last movie that I went to him with my father before he died.
Aw.
And I cried at this movie. So when I was like 7 years old or however old I was, nine, whatever. So yes, Steven Spielberg is...
Steven Spielberg.
67.
Old. 67, almost as old as Morgan Freeman. Well, happy birthday to each and every one of you. We do, though. We do have time for contact. Oh, by the way, Roland O has shown up in the chat room. Nice of you to roll out of bed and join us, Roland O.
Roland O has a nice body.
Roland. He lives up near you.
I've never seen him in person. I just want to clarify that for everyone. Mm-hmm. I've just seen a photo. Only one, though.
You've seen a photo of Roland O's body.
Yes, just of his body. I have no idea what his face looks like, but I've seen his body.
How did you see that?
Well, people post photos of themselves on various websites and things. There are ways to see pictures of people.
Uh-huh.
Anyway,
I haven't seen it.
Right along.
I haven't. Where do I go to see this?
Well, we can discuss it. You know, those places where you go to see that kind of thing. I don't know.
Anyway, all right. Let's see. Let's move on here to our voicemails this evening. Yes, Duel was a good movie, said Toppy Smelly in the chat room. Our very first phone call this evening in the contact segment comes in from the one, the only... No, I guess he didn't call, so we'll have to put up with this one instead.
Hello, lovers! Mm. I hope you got both hands on the wheel, because you're on the 101, and, you know... On the 101, you know, there are lots of spin-outs on the 101, and that's the road, and it's the spin-out zone, not the episode of Dubious Intentions.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, yes, congratulations on number 101. It's a silly millimeter longer. Thank you for calling. You're just silly. How do you hang this thing up? Oh. Hey, buddy, be careful. They've got lasers in here.
Never gets old. Just never gets old.
He's going to be a riot at the old folks' home. You know, I think...
Do you have Hungry Like the Wolf? Can you play that one?
I think when Big Fatty goes into, like, assisted living or whatever, you know, he's going to request that they have a window in the front of his room that he can pull the drapes back to display his sling.
His Christmas balls.
So they'll have to give him a special room in the front.
So that would be Fatty calling to basically... I guess he heard. He heard our 100th, and he was like, "Oh, I forgot to call. Oh, right. Dear Gussie, I'll call the next one." And that interruption that you heard, that little chirp that you heard in the middle of that phone call that interrupted it, would have been Turniped, who's given up listening to the show tonight and is now just texting me, asking me questions. So,
how do I update this server?
How do I update my contacts on my phone? All right, let's move on to our last phone call. Comes in from another, it came in from this person.
Hey there, Daniel. Hey there, Adam. This is Scott. You know, Sater69 on the Twitter.
Yes.
Host of that Sater Sater podcast.
Yes.
I'm calling for the anti-death phone.
Uh-huh.
I forget who it was. Maybe it was RT Cruiser or Scotty the Lost Beller. They got some money in for Brian, the dog on Family Guy.
Yes.
But this past Sunday night, they brought him back to life.
He came back, yes.
Wham! Your mind's blown. So you gave him money for that dog, but now the dog's back.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? It's a time paradox. It's like Back to the Future. It's Back to the Dubious Intent. So,
that
first
doesn't
of all,
make sense.
Take that dollar away from Scotty or RT or whatever.
One of those Australians, yes.
Calling.
Yes.
I love their accents, by the way. And, so now we are short, thanks to Seth MacFarlane bringing a dead cartoon dog back to life.
Excellent.
This is later. I'll catch you later.
I want to say two things there. First of all, thank you for not calling me a slut. Second of all, it's like that episode of Star Trek where the ship kept blowing up.
Right.
And then they go back. Thirdly, I would like to say.
Yes.
Well, I forgot what I was just going to say. It was very important. So give me just one moment.
Yes.
I would like to say. First of all, it's genius. I know. I would have given points for Jesus, and he was resurrected as well.
I'm going to settle this. I'm going to settle it. Who? Look on your list there. Did anyone get a dollar for Brian from Family Guy?
Yes. RT Cruz. No. He got 75 cents.
75. Well, he got an entry, but we only put 75 cents in the pot.
Right.
All right. Take the entry away from RT Cruiser and award it to Scott.
Well, then that's
the only fair thing to do. We're not going to take the money out of the pot. The money's already in the pot. But, there you go. So Scott was the first one. And if any other person off the celebrity death phone comes back to life.
Are you instituting a new rule now?
I am. A new rule. If a dead celebrity comes back to life and is not a zombie, very important there, and is not a zombie, we will, and you're the first person to call in, we will take the money, take the entry away from the original person and give it to you.
All right.
So
you heard it first.
There you go.
Here,
congratulations, Scott. You got I should have played that in the other segment though. All right, excellent.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I don't know why I love
I
that
moved
so much.
That one over because I wanted to make sure it got played, and you're playing fast and loose with the celebrity death phone calls.
Did you ever hear this one?
One resident describes her horrifying experience when she first realized the complex was on fire.
Yeah, I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that.
There you go. I don't know why. I fell into a YouTube hole the other day. Two things.
I'm glad you made it out.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was all of our contact. By the way, thank you all for the... Thank you, Sater and Big Fatty for calling. So I fell into a YouTube hole the other day, when I was snowed in here and I wasn't editing the show. And two things that I found that are just my favorite two things on YouTube. So I'm going to give you a little... let's see. I'm going to give you a little homework assignment here. If you want, go onto the YouTubes and do a search for Mike Tompkins. So that's Mike, M-I-K-E Tompkins, T-O-M-P-K-I-N-S. And specifically look for his show, his song that he did called Skrillex Cinema and Santigold Disparate Youth. So this is he started off as an acapella performer, but he has now migrated on to doing he's doing live performances with MIDI pads with his previous done a cappella pieces, but by looping them. So he's taking live looping performances and mixing them with MIDI recordings of himself and projections of himself, and then distortion, like using two different microphones, one's distortion and then looping them. But it's really well
done. You like looping?
I do. I'm fascinated by what he does here. This is absolutely, I've listened to this thing no less than like 100 times. It's so awesome.
Of you who come to the chat room, you may sometimes hear Daniel doing some impromptu looping with our audio.
That was this evening. Yes. But my other favorite thing on YouTube, and I'm going to have to find it here, it's called the Fridge Locker. And
Ever bring food to work or school? But when it's break time, your food has vanished?
Aww.
Hi, Anthony Sullivan here for the Fridge Locker, the easy-to-use, personal, portable food security system. Simply put your food or drinks into the Fridge Locker, set the lock to your secret combination, and now your food is secure wherever you take it.
So this is basically like a plastic cage with a cheap little combination lock on it that you're supposed to put your lunch in and then stick it in the office so that everyone knows you're a douchebag.
I've seen that for Ben and Jerry's was selling something like that to lock up your ice cream.
Yeah, but it gets worse than that because later, let me find the exact piece. Let's see. Here we go. This is the part that I completely didn't understand. So I'm coming into the video about a minute into it. He's standing on top of it to show how strong it is. By the way, there's no possible way this flimsy piece of plastic shit is holding him up. But then suddenly, it takes a turn for the worse.
Strong, it'll hold my body weight. Still not convinced? We put it to the ultimate strength test. This is a real live 800-pound grizzly bear, and even he's having a hard time getting into the fridge locker.
Why is a grizzly bear? Why? They show the grizzly bear standing on top. Honestly, if that grizzly bear wanted in that food locker, grizzly bear would be in the damn food locker.
Don't you know how many people have grizzly bears working in their office?
That grizzly bear would eat the fucking plastic.
A lot of people post things online about other people stealing their food at work and stuff. I have never had that issue. I put my lunch in the refrigerator and go back, and it's always there.
I go out to lunch every day to keep that from not that I don't trust my...
Speaking of lunch, something yes. I've been... I do a lot of microwave lean cuisine meals because they're low calorie.
Yes.
And easy. And... my favorite one right now is called Ranchero Braised Beef.
Yes.
And it is a really good beef with a chili, kind of a chipotle and adobo sauce, maybe, possibly, not sure. Uh-huh. And it's served with mashed sweet potatoes. It's very good. And it's only 250 calories.
Wow, that's...
It's snack size, basically. But the taste is really... For a microwave dinner, the taste is really good. I'm just telling you.
Excellent. Are they a sponsor of this show?
No.
Well, then I don't give a shit. All right. So that's all the way. We got to decide this right now. Next Tuesday evening is Christmas Eve. And then the Tuesday after that is New Year's Eve. I have no plans on recording on either one of those evenings.
No.
So
this is the end of our 2013 season.
2013 season.
We will start back with our 2014 inaugural season.
Later.
The week after. So we will start back on Tuesday, January 7th.
Right.
And, because no, I do not either. I'll be traveling for sure on Christmas Eve.
Right. And we're going to have a new co-host.
Are we?
Yeah. Barnabas is going to be here. And I would have posted it earlier, but I spelled Barnabas wrong. I don't know why that just stopped. I'm going to start that again, edit that out. It just all of a sudden stopped. DI Plus is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line. 2x2 DI Plus. That website's not in front of me, so I don't know the actual numbers. It's 229-234-7587. Or you can send us an email, contact@dubiousintent.com. All of this information more can be found, you guessed it, at dubiousintent.com.
We have someone that stumbled into the chat room and has no idea what Pride 48 is, and
yes.
Apparently is really confused who people are talking to and what's going on.
Right, yeah.
And they're like, are you listening to the stream? Huh?
But they wouldn't know because they can't hear us, so it's like we're like ghosts.
Listen to the stream, Ono. That's the person's name.
I hear gay people. it's like our chat room. All right, good night, chat.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Night, David.
Celebrity death phone. Joan Fontaine has died at 96. Starred in Hitchcock's films Rebecca and Suspicion. This is Christian in Portland again.
Hello, Daniel and Adam. This is David at Blue Jeans Guy calling in with the celebrity death phone. It looks like actress Joan Fontaine, famous for the Hitchcock classics Suspicion and Rebecca, and also won an Oscar in 1942, causing a bitter rivalry between her and her older sister, Olivia de Havilland, has died at 96. So, in brief again, Joan Fontaine dies at 96. Bye.
Hey, guys. It's Christina from Greetings from Nowhere again, and this was a bad weekend for Hollywood because also passing away today, this is a call for the celebrity death phone, by the way, was Joan Fontaine, who a lot of people know her from the 1939 movie Gunga Din, in which she played opposite Cary Grant. But I know and love her as playing Peggy in the 1939 version of The Women. So both Peter O'Toole and Joan Fontaine, who was actually a biological sister of Olivia de Havilland, passed away today. And Joan Fontaine actually lived in Carmel, so she was local to here. So that's it. Thanks, guys.
Hi, Murder Line Call, and this is for Peter O'Toole, who I hope you guys have heard of. I know sometimes you're a little bit shaky on that. Star of Lawrence of Arabia, Beckett, Goodbye, Mr. Chips, and quite a long list of other things. So, yeah, he died the 14th of December at, I believe, 81. So we'll see what comes of this. Bye.
Hey, Dubious Intent Plus. This is Christina from Nowhere, and I have a call for the celebrity death phone. I am very sad to announce that the great actor Peter O'Toole has passed away today. It is Sunday. So Peter O'Toole is dead. I think he was in Lawrence of Arabia. He's been in a ton of movies, and I'm going totally blank right now trying to list off. I wish I had looked at his IMDb page first, but I was a little shocked to hear he had died. So Peter O'Toole passed away. That's it. Love you guys. Bye.
Hey there, this is Jermit Pad reporting live from the drugstore while standing in line that goes around the entire freaking fucking store to report to you that Peter O'Toole, star of Lawrence of Arabia, is dead. Once again, Turniphead, drugstore, Peter O'Toole, dead.
Yes, I just called about Peter O'Toole dying at 81 and forgot to leave my name. This is Christian in Portland. Goodbye.
Hi, guys. It's Baron Frosty from Next Blime. I wanted to let you know that Peter O'Toole is dead. I'm sure I'm like the 99th caller. Have a good day. Bye.
Hello, this is David at Blue Jeans Guy calling once again for the celebrity death song. Probably late on this one, but Peter O'Toole, the star of Lawrence of Arabia, is dead at 81. So probably way late on this one, but I'll try at least. Bye.
Yeah, I think Chris, O'Toole, dead apparently. Well, confirmed, I think. Got up to a slow start, but man, there's some big names at the end of the year. Catch you later. Bye.
Hello. Once again, this is David, that Blue Jeans guy, calling for the Celebrity Death Phone. Looks like it's been a rough weekend for celebrities, actually. Billy Jack star Tom Laughlin has died at 82. He basically was known for the Billy Jack series of films and not much else. But he was famous for actually writing, directing, and producing it. So that counts for something. So, Billy Jack star Tom Laughlin, dead at 82. Bye.